here for another hour of the United We Strike Marathon here, UnitedWeStrike.com, and around the world, World Spirit Radio. I mean, this is the place goes on and on and on. The number of folks participating. This is a worldwide event. Mike Chambers with you, along with Vinny Eastwood, and it is Randomonium time.
It's Randomonium time. Randomonium. Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, indeed. How are you, man? It's been a while since we talked.
Yeah, it is. It is, actually, Mike. And I've missed your wonderful anecdotes of various barbecue stories.
Well, you gotta have them. See, you're not a real Merkin unless you got some barbecue anecdotes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that the Nazis knew very well. And they were big fans of barbecue on a mass industrial scale.
Yeah, they were fond of smokers, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, thing is, they weren't fond of a whole lot of things, you know, apart from tyranny, lies, propaganda, scumbaggery, wars, nuclear weapons, UFOs, you know, those kind of things that we all love and enjoy.
They were fond of, however, breathing room. They needed breathing room.
Yeah. Well, I just think they needed Walter Cronkite, you know, to head up their propaganda division. They would have done fine.
As the tanks roll across the Sudeten land, that's the way it was.
Hey, in fact, I was thinking about something. You know how truth is? They find it really difficult to go out and meet girls. You know, like right. A lot of truthers are males, and you know they do want a girlfriend, but they want a truther girlfriend kind of thing because they're just sick of slaves. And we just said something there, Sudetenland.com, you know? That could be a truther dating website.
My name is Amelia, I love the truth, and my favorite artist is Wagner.
Yes. My name is Jessica, and I like to ambush my president with my little HD iPhone.
And it would just be like, man, she sounds hot.
Yeah, maybe we can have an action together, baby. You bring your sign, I'll bring my sign, we'll hook up.
Yeah. Let's go and cross placards, honey.
You want to cross a protest line together? Let's get beat down and tased by the cops together, honey. That's true freaking love.
Yeah, oh, man, you know that you're in love when you're in fisticuffs together.
That's right. I'd take 50,000 votes for you anytime I can.
Oh, yeah. Or how about taserlove.com?
Taserlove.com, yes. Yeah.
10,000 volts of pure love.
I feel a barb in my side for you. Oh, no, there's another one on my other side. 8-9 times I've been shocked on the floor, but still I won't leave you. I won't walk out the door.
And my eyes hurt from looking at you, because the pepper sprays on my eyeballs like dew. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. See, there's a whole lot of myriads of fun. Hey, and speaking of fun, yes. You know what's the most amusing stuff that I've read today? It's the newest mental illness study. All right, get this. Anti-government equals mental illness, according to new study. I'm not joking here. A disturbing piece was published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, and you have to be clinically psychotic in order to get into this, of course. In its study, it claims that people who are anti-government or believe in conspiracies around the government are suffering from a condition called anti-government phobia, or AGP. Meaning that anyone who has a distaste for the government, the way it operates, its policies, and believes there is a particular force behind it, must be mentally ill. The implications here are frightening. If you feel the government is doing something that will harm you and that it is part of a bigger plan, you are sick. Thus, the government can respond as though you are a threat. And this is what the study actually claims. Quote, this study conclusively demonstrates... Conclusively, yeah, right. Don't you need science to conclusively prove something? This study conclusively demonstrates that unfounded fear of government is a recognizable mental illness, closely related to paranoid schizophrenia. Anti-government phobia, or AGP, differs from most mental illnesses, however, in that it is highly infectious and has an acute onset. Symptoms include extreme suspiciousness, conspiracy mongering, delusional thought patterns, and staunch us against them mentality, withdrawal from reality, and often religious fanaticism.
I think somebody may be behind me. I don't know. What the hell was that? What's going on here? Hold on. I better break out my Liberty tool. Let's test fire one time. And in any case, it comes down to hand.
Get some.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, you never know. I mean, at first I thought I was paranoid. Then maybe, you know, somebody else is trying to get me. What the hell? Where is that coming from?
Hey, it could be coming from inside your head.
It could be. Maybe I have been chipped and I don't know it.
Well, see, I was thinking of actually creating a chip that, you know, they've got new ingestible microchips now that send you like a text message to tell you when to take your medication, etc. It came out in The Guardian not too long ago. And I was thinking about a chip, you know, for United We Strike or the Vinnie Eastwood show that's kind of, that you can tune into it through an Android app, but it'll be a suppository.
Yes, and you would never suspect it because it would always be coming from behind.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yes. Yeah. And this is how you can keep it secret because, after all, they'd have to do a full body cavity search in order to ascertain whether or not you are listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show or United We Strike radio broadcast and ergo be classified as somebody suffering from anti-government phobia. See, I love this idea. Okay, I in fact am going to have to start becoming a progenitor and advocate for anti-government phobia and encourage AGP. People to be phobic about government.
Yes, yeah, and it may create different levels of AGP. You know, for people to lock onto and I see you're a level 3 AGP.
Mm. Yeah,
somebody's going, is that kind of like a co-temporal coadjutor kind of? I was on the Titanic and sunk it thing.
Yeah, well, it'll, you know how they have autism spectrum disorder, ASD? Yeah. Well, this can be AGBSD, anti-government phobia spectrum disorder. And there'll be varying degrees of it, like those who believe that 9/11 is an inside job, but they don't know about the New World Order. Those who know about the New World Order, but don't know about vaccines. And there'll be varying degrees and a big wide spectrum of mental illness that's coursing through the population as we speak, don't you think, Mike?
I'm coursing. Yes, we're coursing. Mental illness coursing everywhere.
Yeah,
take a pill. We've got pills for you. Hey, and if you don't believe it, then you're in denial.
Absolutely. And if you read the side effects and you see the debilitating stomach cramps, memory loss, murder, suicide, rampage with a gun, etc. on the side effects sheet, as well as at least 500 other symptoms per pill, and you think that that's dangerous, then you're mentally ill, and we're going to have to force you to take those pills.
That's like the guy here about 2 weeks ago that calls 911. Seemed to be taking a little Viagra one night. You know, they say if you maintain your erection longer than 4 hours to contact a doctor, he didn't get the hour part right. It was days. And at that point in time, he's bleeding. So that's the definite side effect. But I don't know any more side effects to AGP. I mean, you know, for all I know, you might want to sit down, you know, in a corner of a room and you write a new constitution or a new Declaration of Independence, you know, rocking back and forth, chanting, you know.
See, that was exactly what I was about to say, is that one of the symptoms of anti-government phobia is reading the Constitution. Is taking part in political action, running for office,
right.
Hosting a radio show, making YouTube videos, petitioning government, participating in the voting process, campaigning, going to city council meetings. You know, these are all obviously the symptoms of the mentally ill.
Hi, my name is Mike, and I have AGP because not only have I had a radio show, I've campaigned in the past, and secondly, a buddy of mine shows up at my door the other day. He's the county coordinator for Ron Paul, and he says, you're going to help me. So now I'm campaigning again. And I have the friggin' signs in the yard. We placed it proudly, almost had a ceremony and prayed over it.
Mm-mm. And unfortunately, the only cure for this condition is a full frontal lobotomy.
I might feel better. I don't know. Somebody could come in and just maybe just reach inside the house and grab me and do it all for me. Feel better. I do.
As they say, it is highly infectious and has an acute onset. So
yes.
The problem is that those people who are suffering from this disorder, saying that Barack Obama is not a full-fledged citizen of the United States and his real name's Barry Satoru, the problem is that they become a real threat to society because others may be infected with this mental disorder.
The first lady has it too? You mean little Michelle? She said he was from Kenya, and she's telling everybody to eat their veggies and all this, and she might be infected even with AGP. It shows you that every level people can be infected by this. We need telethons. We need research. We need science right now. Don't let your child suffer from AGP. Make them a little sheep where they stand in line and they go, bah.
Absolutely, and refusal to take vaccines is one of the it's one of the warning signs that you may be beginning to have rapid onset AGP. AGP. Okay, all right, I got it now. AGP, because I almost forget what mental disorders I suffer from now. Because in fact, interesting anecdote, and I got one for you this time, Mike.
Is it a barbecue anecdote?
No. Close enough. The other day, I was around at a friend's place, and we were and we were hanging out, and he was talking about how I might have ADHD, and right. I go, okay, does ADHD exist? And he's like, yeah, the psychiatrist told me. I go, okay, well, what test did they conduct to prove that you had ADHD? And they go, nothing. Okay, well, is there a blood test that you can prove that you've got ADHD? And he goes, no. Okay, so if you've got something that isn't scientifically verifiable. And it's how exactly do they come at that, with that conclusion? And they go, well, it's the doctor's opinion. Okay, so what do you call somebody who has an opinion that isn't verifiable by science? It's called making it up off the top of your fracking head. That's what it's called. Okay, and all mental disorders fit into that exact same caricature, and they all just are made up, completely and utterly made up. There's symptoms, but you cannot scientifically verify whether or not these things are, in fact, a mental illness, okay? Because it's done on a vote system. The Diagnostic Statistical Manual, the DSM, where they have a list of many hundreds of different mental disorders, whether that be social anxiety disorder, i.e. you're a bit shy. These are just basically normal human conditions. And what they've done is they've figured out a way to capitalize on normal life by branding that person with a mental illness and then being able to prescribe drugs which will make them incredibly wealthy off of your suffering and quite likely, considering the incredibly dangerous effects of these drugs, death or debilitations, etc. This is what the psychiatric industry does. It makes it up and then makes up a fake drug that'll be even worse. And then once you take that drug, it'll have a side effect for which there will be another drug, which will have another side effect, for which they'll give you another drug, and so on and so forth. And a few years down the road after seeing your psychiatrist, depending on their varying levels of scumbaggery, you might wind up on 17 different medications.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, the 18th will be to remedy the after effects of other medications. And then that will have another medication because then you're going to start bleeding and then you'll have hives and a rash and hair starts falling out, and you'll have other things to replace all of that. After a while, it's 36. And see, and then you're tied to the pharmaceutical companies. And come to find out, Monsanto, somebody told us this yesterday, Monsanto was owned by Pfizer. So you're eating GMO crap food, which is going to make you sick, so therefore you have to buy prescriptions to make yourself feel better. So the next day you can be back to eat more crap Monsanto GMO food.
So in the game. That is a good point. That you raised there. Hold on a second. I've just had a little bit of a problem on my side. All right. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, okay. Well, the point that you raised there is about keeping people in the game. Okay, and this is the thing. You have to actually realize that it is a game in the first place. I was at a meeting with a bunch of leftists the other night, Mike, and one of the commentaries, Martin Bomber Bradbury, I'll be uploading these videos later on after this broadcast here, he said, I don't know what the future holds. And to me, saying that you don't know what the future holds means that you just simply don't know what the master plan is. You haven't read the appropriate documents. You haven't learned about the New World Order. It means essentially whatever actions, whatever commentary or anything that you follow are basically irrelevant because they do not encompass the truth, the agendas, and the plans of the elite, of the major mega Uber corporations, etc., right? If you want to know what the plan is and you want to actually stage protests, counter arguments, and what have you, against the agenda. There's three documents, basically, that I feel that people need to either read or watch a summary of. First being Agenda 21. Agenda 21, 1992, Rio Earth Summit, signed by my former Prime Minister Jim Bolger, former El Presidente of the United States, George H.W. Bush, Granddaddy Bush, and it was signed on Prince Charles's private yacht, okay?
Yes.
And Agenda 21 is basically a global to local program. So it the policies come out at the international level, but the implementation goes in through local councils, things of that nature. Essentially, it's a blueprint for privatization of all the resources, commodities, and services that are necessary for human life: power, water, land, animal husbandry, etc. Basically, it's a blueprint for the control of the entire human race simultaneously without anybody knowing about it. That's the Agenda 21. Do your research on that puppy. Secondly, Codex Alimentarius. Codex Alimentarius is similar to Agenda 21, except its focus is far more specifically on food and medications. So if you are growing a herb in your garden or a turnip, or you are sharing these things with your friends, family, using natural oils to heal wounds, help you with weight loss, etc., they will be virtually illegal. And on that point, articles just come out from beforeitsnews.com. Here's a headline: New Zealand introduces $50,000 fine for drinking chamomile tea.
And this will
not only apply just to chamomile tea, this will apply to all herbal remedies. You will either have to have a government license or you ain't going to be growing it legally. And if you ain't growing it legally, not only can you be given an enormous, extraordinary fine for growing a flower in your backyard, but you can also go to jail for doing that. Okay? They're going to make it a criminal offense. Literally, a criminal offence to grow your own food. And the people that they have to enforce this, there's a clause in the bills. We've got a New Zealand food bill coming through now, which is all Codex Alimentarius. They will be able to have Monsanto employees to do the enforcing. Not only that, but they will not have to have warrants to come onto your property. Not only that, but they will be immune from prosecution if they break any existing laws against violence or whatever.
And they'll be safe if they drink your chamomile tea, too.
Well, this is correct. And also, the people that they're planning to enforce this, remember I mentioned Monsanto employees? Guess who Monsanto just bought? Blackwater, the world's largest mercenary force. Renamed Z, of course, because Blackwater received a lot of bad press when some of their soldiers were tripping balls on LSD, running around naked in Iraq, shooting civilians at random, okay? And many other things. Like, that's just one, and that's not even the worst story. and the last bit of planning that people need to be well aware on is the United Nations document for biodiversity. Essentially, what it does is it categorizes about 90% of the Earth's current, or even more, 90+% of the Earth's current inhabited areas, you know, whether that be farmland, small rural towns, etc., will be shall we say, gone into a reservation project where human beings' activity within these areas will become highly monitored and people will no longer be able to actually live in them, and they will have to move into what they call smart growth cells. Okay. And roads, side towns, and this is happening to a great effect in the United States right now, where they're closing off highway off-ramps and on-ramps so that they cut small towns off from the world and they become ghost towns and they go back to nature. Basically, this is the plan, to turn the entire world into a ghost town, except for these small smart growth cells, mega cities, where people will be living in tightly packed, pack 'em and stack 'em alongside railway track slave blocks. And these three documents are real. They have been written, they have been ratified, and they are being implemented right now, everywhere, as we speak. So for somebody to say, and to claim to be a commentator, that I don't know what the future is, they simply have not done any relevant research at all. Because this is the agenda, and it is happening. And people had best stop being naive about it, and they had best stop thinking, oh, it's just a United States problem, it's just a UK problem, it's just a New Zealand problem. We are all under the same agenda, and we had best join forces, because we cannot defeat these people alone. New Zealanders can't defend ourselves, Americans can't defend themselves. It is only together that we can actually win the day, I believe.
Well, and the way this has worked out is Americans have really bowed up to this Codex Alimentarius legislation from the UN, created by a trade group, this growers group, which Monsanto and they're a member of. And so what they're doing is, while the focus is on America and trying to push things through here quietly in places like New Zealand, Australia, others around the world, they're slowly just sliding it in. They have their piece of legislation. Oh, it's wonderful. It's for your safety and everything. Don't you know we love you so much? We're the government. We're here to help. And before you know it, it's all over the world, and the only place still holding out is America. And by that point in time, since America already imports half of its food anyway, it's done by default. So there's no need to make America comply, because, well, hey, we're already doing it. So guess what? Deal with it. We'll be the answer.
And that's the slave mentality, isn't it? Yep. Oh, well, there's nothing I can do. Yep. And another thing that came out in this leftist meeting is that they were talking about creating a mass movement. Mass movement. You know why socialists are obsessed with mass movements, Mike? It's because they're collectivists. They don't believe in the power of the individual. If you ever look at all the revolutions throughout history, they have never involved the majority of the population. The United States Revolution was fought with 3% of the population. Chairman Mao, regardless of what you think of his campaigns and his extermination of 60 million Chinese, only had 1% popular support and took over the entirety of China and turned it into a communist dictatorship. Okay? Never. Under any circumstances should people underestimate the power of the individual, and more poignantly, the power of the very small, determined minority. Now, I said to this group of leftists that the masses don't matter, and you should have heard them howl. I mean, you're saying, oh, you're just some fascist. It's just like, you idiots, okay? You don't understand, do you? That it is the small, determined minority who work day after day for a better world that actually create one. And no other force throughout history has ever accomplished that. Nobody can tell me, and if they can, show me something. Show me a revolution where 50% or more of the population were actually politically involved and not just going along with it.
Well, I mean, even if you go back and look at Egypt, now granted that thing is turning to be a debacle, but still even there, we're talking 3-4% of the population was involved, exactly. And that was it. And within a space of 3 weeks, they have Mubarak gone and others, and now here, and then of course they've got their ever-loving military in, and they found out the military is just as much of a rat bastard as Mubarak was, if not worse. They're going to end up with what they had or worse. And they'll be like the Iraqis wishing they had Saddam back when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like that all over the Middle East.
Well, you're actually really right. I was talking to a guy from Saudi Arabia last night, one of my listeners, and he said that in Saudi Arabia now, he's hearing gunshots in the street fairly regularly, where the police are shooting young men etc. Now, this is a kingdom. This is the West's foothold, right, other than Israel, in the Middle East, is Saudi Arabia. This is where we get a large chunk of our oil from. And incidentally, they haven't revealed just how much oil they have, because if they did, we'd demand to pay at least one-tenth of the price for it.
Right.
And it's the same with oil like that all around the world. It's not not exactly a scarce resource. It's the second most abundant liquid on Earth after seawater.
Yeah, and so everybody, you know, thinking they're going to get something different. They're going to end up exactly with the same. And it is really sad because, you know, a number of people have already paid with their lives. And you think, well, we're going to create a new tomorrow. Well, guess what? Well, you got yesterday, honey. What are you going to do with that? And people are just like, oh, I don't know. I guess we need to. And then, so then they end up welcoming people like the UN in, the IMF in, because after it's all said and done, we're going to need help. We're going to need loans. Got to do it. And the IMF and the big banksters, after they clear everybody out, they come in and do the exact same thing to them. And it becomes a continual process of utter and outright victimization against people. And they end up worse as they go along, thinking they're going to get something better.
Exactly. These people are just moving chairs around on the Titanic, is my contention. And again, I want to reiterate this as many times as necessary for people to understand it, because Joseph Goebbels, the father of Nazi propaganda, understood very well that if you say something often enough, people will begin to believe it. Right. He used lies to convince people and repeat them often enough. I use truth. And the thing is, as Howard Zinn said, and he was a great advocate for civil rights during the American Civil Rights Movement in the 50s and 60s and what have you, he said, one truth can shatter 1,000 lies. And I hold that to be a very self-evident truth.
Yeah. Well, most interesting, and who was one of his idols? Edward Bernays. The guy who creates public relations, former propaganda minister, in fact, for Woodrow Wilson during World War One. They didn't call him the propaganda minister, but that's essentially his role for American propaganda in the war.
Yep. And if you have a look at Bernays's work, he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. Yep. And ultimately, the whole point of propaganda is to, if you want to convince somebody of something that's not true, what you have to do essentially is create a want, okay, to give them an image of something that is better than them, something that they respect more, you know, that kind of thing. Like, for example, that guy has a much nicer car than I do, ergo I feel incomplete without one of those cars for myself. Once you get that car, they'll start advertising a new car for you and convince you that you're incomplete without that one. And therefore, it creates a cycle of consumption where you, as you said earlier, get kept in that game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a commercial here, Vinny, that's run off and on for 2 or 3 years. It's a guy, he's in his Dodge Durango, and he's out in the middle of the desert. He's pulling a bass boat, which is, you know, one of those things that men in America love. And he's about 350 pounds, but he has got this hot smoking wife sitting next to him. I mean, and he's got the kids in the back, this new Dodge Durango equipped with GPS, mind you. But he won't turn the GPS on for directions because, by God, he's a man. But wouldn't you want to be in that Dodge Durango? And you can. Financing available now. And see, in about 4 years, when that warranty runs out and everything starts to break on that new Dodge Durango, you're going to want to go down and get another Dodge Durango, because there's yet another 350-pound guy sitting in it with another hot-smoking wife and yet another brand-new bass boat. Just waiting to titillate you.
So to speak.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
It when I look at our world today, I have this immense sadness, Mike, because I see such potential in people all the time, all around me, and I see them not only wasting their potential, but convincing themselves that wasting their potential is a good idea. Now, that sounds and is, I believe, could be scientifically verified, might not be, insanity. All right, so that's the real mental illness, is people not believing in themselves.
Right. Yeah, I think so, because and people are taught that they're not right. There's something wrong with them. I mean, look at how many people in America have been given this body image that they're supposed to be a certain size, weigh a certain amount of weight, be a certain height. They have to have a certain amount of business success, like the president of a Fortune 500 company, or anything else is a failure, or you got to be a movie star. Now you're a movie star, or you've been on a reality show, and your last name is Kardashian. Then all that goes out the window, and you're okay. You're in the club. Or you grew up as a child star on Disney, and you freak out, drink, get crazy nuts, and show everybody your panties when you get out of the car. That's okay, and that's passable, too, because we'll see you on the halftime show at the Super Bowl in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But anything other than that, you're a failure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like you set unrealistic expectations for people, and as a result, they begin to have unrealistic expectations of themselves. And it's reinforced in many ways, like movies, TV, that kind of thing. How many times have you heard, either in real life or through an entertainment industry source, you need to have a job? Everybody has a job, nobody likes them, but you've got to have one because that's what everybody does. Have you heard that before, Mike?
Oh, yes. And what does that do? That it discourages people from starting their own businesses. And
it discourages people from giving a frank about what they do in their own lives, and which discourages them from even enjoying life in and of itself. That's what it means to me. In fact, I'm going to create a new mental illness to go alongside this anti-government mental illness. It's called, employment phobia. Okay, I actually do believe that I suffer from employment phobia because I've just made it up, and so therefore it's obviously just as scientifically verified as all these other.
Don't answer it, Vinny. It's a job. It's a potential employer. Don't answer.
I don't answer the phones during shows. You know, I think it's a bit rude to the listeners. What's happening now is every time, and I think the last time I went for a job interview was like nearly 4 years ago. I started to have like my adrenaline started to pump, and it was like a panic attack was coming on, and it was at that moment that I realized I'm never going to be able to work for anybody ever again, Mike. I can only work with people. You know, I cannot be a slave. I cannot be dominated. I cannot be told what to do. And it's not like it's partly me not wanting to and being very, very firm in my belief. And it's partly that my body now has a physical reaction to those things.
And now I finally figured out what she meant when she said that you wouldn't put the collar on. Now I get it.
Yeah. Well, and think about this. If you're wearing a dress shirt, what have you got around your neck?
I know. It kind of just sticks out a little bit, especially the studded kind.
You've got a collar.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you're wearing a suit, what are around your wrists?
Also, in that collar usually is a tie, and so which provides the mental image of you being led around on a leash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have a collar, a leash, and your wrists have cuffs on them.
Yes.
What kind of an image does that connote? It connotes the image of a slave, more like livestock than anything else.
Right, and if you're wearing cuff links, what is that? Well, cuff links, you know, give the idea that they're linked together. So therefore, you're handcuffed.
Exactly. So people walk around wearing collars around their necks, a leash attached to that, and handcuffs around their wrists, thinking they're free. This is something that people need to wake up and realize that, and this is just one tiny part of how you are enslaved in a million ways. One tiny part. And everybody can wake up in their own way to whatever topic in the conspiracy realm or whatever. As this mental illness, anti-government phobia suggests, it is infectious and it has a rapid onset. Once you open the door to the conspiracy realm, once you realize that you've been lied to about one big thing in your life, then often the human brain will begin to operate in a much more rapid fashion because your interest is peaked up. What's something you work at faster, something that bores the crap out of you, or something that interests you to no end?
For me, it's the latter. Always the latter. I'll get in there and rock that out. The other stuff, you're like, I don't want to see it. Leave it alone. Don't touch it.
Who cares what these other people have to say? You know, if I'm not enjoying my life, how is it my life?
Right. Yeah. I mean, why should you have to live up to everybody else's expectations for what they deem as to be your life. And again, if you're not the successful president of the Fortune 500 company, that means you're the out and out failure. But no, that doesn't mean that. I mean, you know, I've known some people that are dirt poor that I consider to be very successful people because they've raised a good family. They've led a good life. There's always people around them, and they're always having a good time, and they enjoy what they have wherever they're at.
Self-contained, in other words.
Self-contained, they're
independent, yep. Okay? And this is something that is being attacked from all sides now, is just independence in itself, every single form of it. Yep. Regardless of your religion, your race, your nation status, your independence is under attack. The family unit is under attack. The voting process and representation is under attack. Resource extraction of your own country's minerals and what have you is also under attack. Now, the main agenda here is to make all nations completely and utterly interdependent so that they will no longer have the capacity to be independent. If you are not independent, it means you cannot make your own decisions without the permission or agreement of other parties. And because most of the parties that are in control of our governments as we stand today are part of a controlled left-right paradigm and, in my contention, have all been bought off and are all marching to the beat of this exact same drum. I don't care whether you're living in Brazil, the United Kingdom, or Indonesia. They all march to the same beating war drum.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, case in point here, look, Ron Paul has an opportunity tonight in Maine to take off to pick off Maine for a campaign win, and they're already starting to talk about this brokered convention that would occur, so that the game ends up exactly the way that these people want it to be. They're actually now starting to encourage a brokered convention. These little groups like Freedom Works and the Tea Party groups and other things are already starting to solicit their members and giving them additional candidates to vote on as people that they would nominate for the Republican Party. And guess whose name is popping up now in all of this and who they're looking at as a possible brokered convention candidate at the convention in Tampa later on this year. Take a wild guess. I'll give you a wild guess.
I don't know.
Jeb Bush. Yeah. And you talk about the war party. They are the war party, and they're the same people that time after time have been around and been influencing what's happening, not only in this country, but around the world now for 60, 70 years, if not longer. And Bobby Bush gave Mitt his anointing while Barbara played with the dog. But he gave him his anointing. But knowing that you might have one of these situations, here's Jeb in the background to bring it all together. And after all, Jeb needs paid off, because didn't he get big help brother win in 2000? By stopping the vote?
Well, it's... What was a good word somebody came up with? The evilarchy. It's a cross between evil and oligarchy and malarkey.
Yep.
And what's happening here is these people have seized control, and they're not even in control of their own lives or their own destiny. They're merely playing the part in the plans of other people who are above them. And this is why I disagree entirely with hierarchy. I don't think pyramids should be wide at the base and narrow at the top where the power is concentrated. I believe they should be narrow at the bottom and wide at the top, and all the power should be, shared. We have rights. We don't have privileges. We have rights. And nobody can take rights away from you, but they sure as frack can take away your privileges. If I wanted to go onto your property, for example, Mike, and I didn't have your permission, I could have that right revoked, couldn't I? Because I can't just travel on other people's property.
No.
But on the other hand, if I am on my own property and I'm walking around, it's my right because it's my property. Even though, of course, as many people should know, the government still owns your property even after you buy it, because they own all the resources underneath the soil. So if they dig up oil or uranium or something like that, sorry, time to move. Eminent domain.
Yeah, exactly. Deal with it. We might pay you. And if you're lucky, we might give you something for it. But most likely, no. We're just going to tell you to get the hell on out.
See, and this is the thing. When you do have the hand of the state or the police or something of that nature throttling you, choking you with its left or right hand, it matters not, because it becomes obvious then that you're a slave. And often it is those people who have had that sort of oppression put on them that are far more likely than any other group of people to wind up becoming active against tyranny, to become actively advocating for freedom. And ultimately, I think that that's one of the great shames of our time, is that you have to experience adversity, suffering, and even the deaths of your loved ones before you will wake up, before you will try and do what is right.
Well, a lot of the, you know, we're just not wired to think that way. I mean, you really have to sit and think about, you know, you have to think like a psychopath. You have to think like a sociopath, because that's what these people are. I mean, a normal person who's wired to love and has empathy and cares about those around him doesn't have the capability of thinking that way, unless they place themselves in that position to think that way. And that's why they get away with it so easily, because they'll come to you and charm you. Oh, he's a good, God-fearing Christian man, goes to church on Sundays. Look at him. He's loving the Lord, loves his country. Woo, man, he's our guy. They turns out to be a rat bastard who lied 972 times about a war in Iraq and go kill a million brown people just for the heck of it.
Oh, who cares? There's millions more, you know.
Oh, well, hey, what's it called? It's called a good start.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love what Borat said, is that we should bomb their country until for 1,000 years there is not so much as a lizard crawling through that desert. And this is the mentality of the psychopath, isn't it?
Yeah.
And people actually, that's one point that I think is probably the most important out of everything that we've discussed today here, Mike, is the psyche of the psychopath and how people don't understand it. Once you understand the mentality of a psychopath, so suddenly almost everything that the government does, corporations do, and the media does makes a heck of a lot more sense. Why, when I go to court, does the judge not care about the truth? Why is it that when I'm getting charged with something that's not a crime, I get convicted and have to go to jail? Well, the judge is a psychopath. Oh, that's why! And it suddenly makes sense. Why is fluoride, which is an incredibly toxic poison that they get off of phosphate fertilizer factories, okay, and water it down into some incredibly toxic slurry that's not even top pharmaceutical grade, dumped into the water supply? Because the people in the local council are psychopaths. Oh, then now it suddenly makes sense. And it's like that with absolutely everything you can imagine, literally. And people are too good, caring, empathetic, nice, or inexperienced with the practices and thought processes of psychopathy to understand it before it's too late many times.
Indeed. Yeah. And that's what you're caught behind because you don't expect it to expect these people to be this way. You expect them to be something different. And they turn
you expect
to
them to be
that.
Like you expect them to be like you.
Yes, like we're all in a Leave It to Beaver world, and we're all going to have meatloaf tonight. Might have some fruit cocktail for dessert. Oh, it's exciting times! And we're all going to sit down around the marvelous little box, and we're going to entertain ourselves with some family values programming. Wrong. These people Wrong. Don't care. These people
we're
do not
go
care.
Out. We're going to go out and we're going to kidnap children.
We're going to commit mayhem tonight.
We're going to sacrifice them and we're going to torture them before we do, so that their blood gets filled up with adrenaline, so that when we drink it, we get a high off of it. Okay? It's real dark, real scary, and real horrifying, and it goes on all the time. 400,000 children a year go missing in the United States, and they never get found again. How can that happen? 100,000 children a year in the United Kingdom, much smaller country than the 40 million people. 100,000 kids go missing. Unbelievable.
And why is the slave trade in Saudi Arabia and Israel never talked about?
Why are all these things not talked about? And here's the another important point, Mike, is that we always ask, why is this happening? Well, when the fact of the matter is, we already know. The fact that we already know and we still keep asking that same question doesn't mean that we don't know what we're talking about. It means that we don't understand it. And that's because we're not psychos. We cannot see the justification for the media censorship. We don't see the justification for the overarching evilarchy police state measures. We don't see any justification for that. And so we keep asking why, when we already know the answers. That's the real interesting thing that I find about being a conspiracy theorist, is that we got all the facts, we're on the right side of history, and yet we still keep questioning.
Yeah. And at the same time, you're still called idiot, fool. You're not a patriotic individual, that you're against the home and the land you live in. No, that has nothing to do with that. I love where I live. And am I supposed to sit quietly, or am I supposed to not ask questions? I thought I was. I thought if I saw something wrong, it was my duty to come in and try to fix it. But I guess I'm supposed to just sit down and sit on my ass and be quiet and dream about me and my hot smoking wife with the Dodge Durango.
Well, that's why they call it the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it, as George Carlin said.
Yes, that's very, very true. Very, very true.
Well, see, many a truth has been said in jest, hasn't it, Mike? And this is why I believe, like commentators like you and I, for example, we like to have a good laugh while we're talking about babies being sacrificed and genocide being committed in all over the world. You know, the lighter side of genocide, as I've called it.
Well, first of all, if you don't, you end up pulling your hair out. And as you're doing the show, you're literally grabbing your scalp and you're yanking the hair from your head.
I have no intention of waking new people up, Mike. I only have the intention of helping those who are already awake maintain their sanity so that their wake-up was not in vain.
Yeah, maybe that's my problem, Vinny, is because I'm sitting here thinking, man, we got to reach some new people. We got to reach some new people. So maybe I should just be a counselor. Yes, I know it's rough. Yes, I know it's tough. Get your foods. Okay, get your number 10 can. Go to the corner. Sit down. Caress it. It will be all right.
Yeah, and we came up with an idea a while ago called the Patriot Snuggie.
Yes.
It has a gunsmith shop in it and 4 years of dried food.
And you're still able to sleep comfortably on the couch with it.
Exactly, and you don't have to even take it off in order to go to the door if somebody turns up. You can be in your Snuggie the whole time. Speaking of which, and this is another part about being a patriot, being a truther, and being somebody who actually works really hard. Like for the last week or so, Mike, I've only just gotten unlimited broadband, so it means that I am now using that opportunity to upload as much content as I can in whatever time that I have. So I've been working from 8 a.m. till 3 a.m. Most days. Uploading, editing, doing the radio shows, etc. You know, I've been working really, really hard. And one of my guests actually dressed me down with a mass email kind of thing after coming on my show, saying, in fact, I'll read you out my Facebook status. I was discussing this. I don't want to name who the guest is, because I don't think patriots should infight, but I think it does actually serve as an example to what you could expect, should expect, and should be prepared for to happen to you if you bust your hump to try and save humanity. There'll be people like this. I've had some rather vicious emails from a guy whom I had on the show who gave me some constructive criticism, and I want some corroboration on it from people. If you agree with the following number, list the numbers in your response. Am I, 1, immature as a 12-year-old? 2, self-obsessed? 3, have a tendency to point fingers at scumbags that's off-putting? 4, don't listen to my guests? 5, make the show all about me? 6, only interested in myself? And 7, don't take criticism well? There are 48 comments in reply to this, not including my own. Not a single one of them agreed with a single point that this person raised. And I feel blessed and grateful, because I can go out and ask people and be very honest. I wanted to know whether or not this was the case. Am I that guy? that guy that does those things that everybody hates. And I didn't find a single point of corroboration, Mike, and I had more comments than 10 other threads that I normally do. That's how much people support me. That's how much support you get when you are telling the truth. If you have a look at my YouTube comments, Twitter, Facebook, and all of the other various eclectic ways that people interact with me through email and what have you, the abuse to and criticism ratio is 1 versus about 50 compliments. Okay, so, and I'm not saying majority rules, because I actually really did want to take a long, hard look at myself, because if I become, heaven forbid, some form of douchebag, I really do genuinely hope that all my friends in the Patriot movement, all my listeners and readers and that kind of thing, will pull me up on it, because that's how you keep people from becoming tyrants, is keeping a watchful eye on them. And people have closed their eyes to the government and only open their eyes to other conspiracy theorists in their own movement to criticize and be angry with them, that kind of thing. And it's a very foolish move indeed.
Well, I agree. And I agree also, it's important that we each take a look at ourselves on a regular basis to make sure, you know, we're kind of rooted where we need to be. Because it's very easy to kind of get off the beaten path and go, you know, I guess I am. I'm pretty good here. Maybe I'll be all right. I'm an okay guy. And you know, going in, you're an okay guy. It's just you know, staying level and staying sane. I think even more important than that, whether the show is about yourself. I mean, after all, it is called the freaking Vinnie Eastwood Show, is it not? I mean, you would think there would be a little bit about you in the program. Hi, my name's Vinnie Eastwood, but I'm not talking about myself. We're going to talk about Bob Jenkins over here, but it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show starring Bob Jenkins.
Jeez. Well, the thing is, I do take criticism often very personally.
I do too.
And maybe it's not such a good thing, because it makes me, it really hurts my feelings and makes me rage like a bull, like quite literally. I mean, the problem is I just can't write off anyone who has a go at me as just, you know, some moron who doesn't know what right. They're talking about, because it sets a very dangerous precedent, doesn't it, that I would just write off all criticism, you know? And what's funny is, though, I mean, this person proved many, many times that he doesn't know who I am or what he's talking about or how to be a decent human being at all. You know, like, what's funny is he told me, how about talking about fracking instead of fracking the people who are trying to help you? And he did that in all caps, of course. And to which I replied with 3 links to fracking videos and radio archives I had done. One I'd done last night, one less than 2 weeks ago, and one that I'd done last year. To which he replied... and here's the kicker. To which he replied that he deleted the email before looking at it because he didn't want to be called a scumbag.
Yeah, he didn't. No, not want to be called out at all. No. And you know what? The clock is now the scumbag, because we're out of time.
Yeah.
See? It's unfortunate. Scumbag clock.
Yes, well ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do next month?
This again. We'll be here for more Randomonium, and Charlie McGrath will be back.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll also be back in a couple of hours. I think in about 4 hours' time or something, I will be hosting Malignant Humor. And we will be getting lots and lots of Kiwi activists and guests on the air on United We Strike, because we are dealing with a new world order, and there is a resistance rising all around the world. And I hope to, I try to, bring the Kiwis forth, because we need to link up and be international in scope and fight.
Yep. Thanks again, Vinny. All right, we're a quick break. Come back. The New World Order Report coming up next on the United We Strike Marathon. Stay with us, everybody. Back in just a couple minutes.
Join UnitedWeStrike.com radio on the second Saturday of every month for our live international radio marathon. Don't buy. Don't comply. Ask why.